Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. Election fraud warrior Mike Lindell, who is also CEO of MyPillow.com, has just put out his latest video on the subject titled Absolutely 90. That's 9-0, 920. It does the best job yet, in my opinion, of explaining the evidence Lindell and his team of computer forensic experts have of foreign, primarily communist China, cyber attacks, which they say flipped millions of votes from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. And just 20 of these successful cyber attacks in five key swing states were enough by themselves to give Biden the presidency. That's excluding all of the other fraud that probably took place with the fraud-prone mail-in ballots and all that, but that's another issue. Lindell and his team insist this evidence is irrefutable, and if it is considered by the U.S. Supreme Court, if it should get that far, the justices there would have to rule 9-0 in agreement, verifying that the 2020 presidential election was stolen for Biden. That, for me, is the big problem, however. We've all been shocked and deeply worried that seven of the nine justices of our nation's highest court have, thus far at least, repeatedly ducked their constitutional responsibilities, by refusing to even consider evidence of election fraud. How, we have wondered, could the three newest justices have chosen to abrogate their oaths of office, their solemn pledge to uphold our Constitution, and refuse to even look at some of the massive evidence of the fraud that we all firmly believe was involved in throwing the election to Joe Biden, who, as President Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani has repeatedly stated, has, along with Biden family members, been given tens of millions of dollars by communist China over the years. Nevertheless, Mike Lindell and many others in this country still believe that our Supreme Court justices are not compromised and can still be relied upon to actually do their duty and, if they can be persuaded to consider the evidence, will be compelled to agree with it and will rule accordingly. Let's listen to the audio of Lindell's Absolutely 90 election fraud documentary video to help you make up your own mind about this evidence from communist China and the alleged cyber attacks. Also, we have, or shortly will have, posted on our show's webpage at bbsradio.com the graphic discussed toward the end of Absolutely 90, showing that if the votes that were alleged to have been flipped from Trump to Biden were reversed, the margins by which Trump won the election in each of these key swing states would be are evident. That's what the graphic shows. There is or will be shortly on our webpage a direct link to the LindellTV.com website where you can watch and even download this full video if you want. Please play soundbite one.
I received evidence of a cyber attack orchestrated by China on our 2020 election. I took that one piece of evidence and I just went all in. This was something different. Nobody had seen. This was something that came through the machines, the Dominion machines, the Smartmatic and other machines. This was a cyber attack. I didn't know anything about cyber attacks. And boy, I had to learn real fast. And I hired experts to validate this. I hired, these guys are white hat hackers that work for the government. But what I'm going to show you tonight is you're going to all know now why I have been 100% sure that when this gets before the Supreme Court, it's going to be 9-0. 9-0 to pull this election down and that this was 100% an attack by China on our country through these machines. And with us right now is one of my cybersecurity experts. These guys are the best. And this guy has over 20 years of experience working in both the private sector and with government law enforcement and intelligence agencies. He has many information and cybersecurity certifications that specialize in advanced adversary detection, mitigation, and elimination. And here he is now. Hello.
Hello, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for all the work you've done for our country, and thanks for all the work you've done for myself. And I know I put yourself and many others through a couple months worth of work now just to get everything validated for our country, to show that this evidence is real. So what I'm going to go through, everybody, I'm going to start from the January 9th. The stuff that these guys brought to me, these guys were there the night of the election, and it was like taking a movie. I compared it to like taking a movie, and they have all this information, millions of lines of data. Why don't we show that right now? Can you go ahead and say what we're watching here?
Yeah, that's essentially the raw encrypted data. And I mean, that would run for the next couple of days. You know, that's the amount of data that we're dealing with here.
So what this contains here is what? What are the, what are these? Is this cyber forensics? What are we looking at? What are these called? I know you had told me before they're called like PCAPs or something.
Yeah, so PCAP is just an acronym for packet capture. So it's essentially a moment in time that is captured, and that the transmission of those packets, any information that travels between point A and point B, is essentially a packet. And so those packets moving back and forth during the election were captured, but you need to actually record it. And so that's where we're very blessed and fortunate to have, you know, some of these guys that actually recorded the information as it happened.
Did you heard it here, people. You heard it here, everyone. We have, what a blessing it is that we have the evidence. This is what I've been telling everybody for months now, since January 9th. These are the actual evidence that was collected the night of the election and a couple of days following. Now, I can't read these, and neither can anyone else that's probably watching, unless you're an expert like you guys are.
One more piece to that is you can't go back in time and fake a PCAP, essentially. You have to capture that packet in real time. So you need to record it. You don't go backwards and, you know, recreate this whole, you know, chain of events. It happens and you record it.
Right. So, okay, that's a great point. So what he's saying there, everyone, is you can't go back in time and say, okay, I'm going to make these up. And also you can't go back and change anything, right? If you have these PCAPs, you can't go change them. It's a blessing we have them. If we didn't have them, the evidence would be long gone, correct?
Yeah, it would definitely be gone. And, you know, luckily somebody pressed record during the entire election. So,
wow. You know. Yeah, that is a blessing. And they brought it to me. Why did they bring it to me? Because I at that point on January 9th, you know, nobody else was, all the other evidence they found for November and December, all that, I call it the organic cheating. All the, you know, dead people voting, non-residents voting, all this other stuff. Everybody's so focused on that. And these guys, they're heroes that ended up collecting this the night of the election. So they bring it to me now, everybody. And I'm going, okay, I wanted to learn all I could about it. And one of the things is, now, if you take this stuff here, and one of the things I asked you and many other side, because I have many cyber experts, I'm going, is there any way you can go back in time and doctor it, change it? I think you compared it to like a forensic scene at a crime scene with like DNA evidence. Is that correct?
Yeah. So really what you're looking at is, I mean, there's hash values, which are unique to each item. Any change to that, it'll change the hash. So that's how you verify images, or, you know, the PCAP in this case. So when you're looking at, you know, this file, you make sure that it hasn't been doctored or anything's been done to it, because when you do the work, it needs to match that original file. And so that's where you start. And then, you know, we worked to unencrypt and pull the data out to identify exactly what happened during that period of time.
Okay, so have, now, when you, in all your work in 20 years then, do you work with these PCAPs a lot, or do most cyber experts, is that, that's what you work with all the time?
Yeah, a lot of the time we do, because, you know, well, you, if there is a active cyber attack, you record it. And the way you record it is through a PCAP. That's how you capture that traffic. And that traffic, when you capture that information, you have the source, you have the destination, you know, you have the files that are being transmitted. And right, through what protocol, it captures a lot of information, and, you know, you go through it and right, essentially what, translate it.
Right. That's what took so long. I believe it's been a couple months now with, I've had yourself and many others validating and translating these CPACs. And there was literally thousands of hacks, right, from China?
Yeah. Well, there were a lot. And there were a lot successful. Some were just doing reconnaissance, and others were flipping votes. And so right, it would go in and identify where it needed to flip, and then it would flip. So, okay, yeah, there was a lot of activity.
So what I had you guys do was go out and get 20, just grab 20 of the PCAPs, 20 of them, that you could take that data and translate it into something that was readable for all of us here. So what I did is I said, you know what, let's just see how this, you know, because this was in the millions and millions of votes that were flipped in our election by China from Trump to Biden, okay? So I said, well, let's just grab 20 of them so we can make this absolutely 9-0 video. So we went out, we grabbed 20 of them. Now it took, I don't know, what did it take, 4 to 6 weeks to validate just those 20 PCAPs, and because I wanted every, I was very particular, wasn't I? I wanted every little thing validated and 100% foolproof. And these were the five states. These were five states: Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Georgia. Okay, so now what I want to do is bring up the data that you took the PCAPs and translated it for us and showed just these 20 attacks exactly what these PCAPs show and that we can all read. On the first line, if we start on the top here, this was from, if we look at the date, it's 11/3/20, the day of the election, at 10:49 p.m. Can you go ahead and take us through this? When you talk about the source, and take us through it line by line and explain what this is.
Yeah, so the source is the IP address from the computer that essentially, you know, changed that vote. So since we focused on the 20, each one of these resulted in votes being changed. So that's the source. Latitude and longitude is essentially within 400 yards of where that device is located. Beijing, obviously China, province, city. And then this next part is the network that was pulled out of the PCAP, essentially. But, you know, some of this isn't Chinese, so when you translate it, you just want to make sure, and, you know, as you've asked us to do, double, triple, quadruple, you know, validate. And right, so we've been going through, making sure the translations and all the information checks out.
So what he's saying here, everybody, is what I did is I made them all validate the validation. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, so we, you know, because we're dealing with other languages, we validated the validation that was validated.
So the next line there, which is the network code, what would that be?
Yeah, so that's essentially from the registration of that IP. So, mm-hmm, you know, most every single IP is registered to somebody. And okay. So when you look at that network range, and, you know, identify who the registered donor is.
Right.
So that's okay. Where it comes down.
Okay, so you got all of this information from the PCAPs, is that correct?
Yeah.
The next line, it says target. Now, we just went through which would be the hacker or the attacker, so to speak, correct? And now we're going to get into the target, which is, I guess I could pull that out. The target, that's the target. Would that be the target's IP address? And then again, the longitude, latitude, and the state that it came, that it was hacked into, correct?
Yep.
And then we have the entry point. You know, there's Delta County here in this case. And then the network registration. What is it? So the network registration, that also, all this stuff came right out of the PCAPs that's preserved in time. You can't change it. And when you have it, it's 100%. It's non-negotiable. It's not, there's no, I mean, here it is. This is what it is. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we were saying that this isn't subjective. It just is what it is. It's fact that information, you know, speaks for itself and
right.
You go from
so
there.
before we go to the last couple lines, I want to ask you this. If you are going to prove a case, a cyber case, a cyber attack, and if you had a wish list, like let's say, you know, I, obviously when I came to you and said, and others and said, hey, I have something that's really going to change the world. It's good because these guys brought me these, I didn't know they were called PCAPs at the time, but I knew they were from the night of the election. What would you say if you could have your wish list 100% prove something, is this what it would be? What would it be in a cyber attack?
Yeah. This is 100%. I mean,
this is what you would want. This is,
yeah. A lot of times, you know, you come in, at least, you know, in our line of work, we get called in after the attack. So this was something that was captured during the attack.
Wow.
You always want that.
Right.
You want to catch somebody. Yeah. You want to catch them, you know, somebody's robbing a bank. You want to have it on video. Like,
right.
That's definitive evidence. This is robbing the bank and having it on video.
So I wanted to hear everyone to hear that. This is, we have what everyone would ever want if there was a crime committed, cyberly, a cyber attack. We have the forensic evidence. We have the movie. We have the video of the bank being robbed, so to speak. And right before, I wanted you all to hear that before you look at the last couple lines here. You have the intrusion, how they got in, firewall or the credentials, whether they had the credentials. And was it a success? Yes, it was a success. Here it is, everybody. What happened? In this case, Donald Trump, it says down, there were 3,215 votes flipped. And you can go all the way down this list, and every one of them was a Trump, votes taken from Trump, given to Biden. It was a flip. So these cyber hacks and these attacks, are you saying that these numbers here at the end came right off of those PCAPs? Is that correct?
Yeah, those, I mean, they're specific numbers, right?
Right.
So those, you're not just rounding up, it's actual specific, like, to the vote numbers that were pulled out of the PCAPs.
That is so awesome. So everybody, do you see what this is? What we have here, you talk about a smoking gun. This is why I've been so, by everyone, you know, for 2 months, people have attacked me and told me I didn't have the evidence and all this stuff. And we've made these other movies. But I wanted to get on here and explain to everyone, this was an attack by China on our country through these Dominion and these other machines, where, and they just hacked in a cyber attack, hacked into our election and flipped it to anyone that they wanted to win. In this case, it was the Democrat Party. I want to ask you something before we go to the next chart. Going to the Supreme Court, when this gets there, when we bring this to the Supreme Court, And so what you're saying, because this isn't subjective and you can't change anything, and with this evidence, if you go in there, and what would you expect? Is there any way it could be 5-4 or 6-3 that this is real, or 8-1? Or does it have to be 9-0?
It's irrefutable.
Irrefutable.
Well, that's the word.
Irrefutable. And it's not subjective, right? I mean, this is
irrefutable. Not at all.
Right.
Yeah, it's blood specs. Sometimes you have little specks of blood, right? This is a bucket of it.
Wow.
That's
so awesome. Now everybody knows why I've had the confidence I've had over the last couple months. And now I want to show you, I want to show everybody what just, remember, these are just 20 of the hacks, everybody, out of thousands that China orchestrated. And so whether you're a Democrat or Republican, this is the most serious thing that's ever happened. This is the biggest crime against our country and humanity I could think of ever. So now let's pull up the next chart here. And what it's going to show everybody is just remember, I just had 20 of the attacks, 20 of the thousands of attacks on our 2020 election by China. I just took 20 of them, and I had 20 of them validated and revalidated and revalidated. So right now, as we pull up this chart, I'm going to show you what those 20 attacks did. What they did, if you look at Pennsylvania here, it's where it said Biden won by over 80,000. Just with these attacks that we showed you, this small sampling, Donald Trump won by over 107,000. You go to Georgia, they say Biden won by 11,779. Just with this small sampling of the attacks, Donald Trump won by over 35,000 votes. Arizona, same story, over 10,000 votes for Biden. And after you add in these, just this small sampling of the attacks, Donald Trump wins by almost 37,000. You go to Michigan, it says Biden won. Remember, we had the big thing in Michigan where they injected votes there. But you have 154,000 plus votes in Michigan. And with this small sampling of hacks, these 20 attacks, just 20 of them. Now Donald Trump wins Michigan by over 48,000 votes. Now when you go to Wisconsin, you can see Donald Trump lost by over 20,000 votes, but he really wins by over 49,000, almost 50,000 votes. And realize, this was just 20 of the thousands of attacks. This is why when we say that Donald Trump really won this election by like almost 80 million to 68 million for Biden, how can you switch tens of millions of votes? It had to be done with computers. It had to be done with the machines, through these Dominion, through all these machines, and China did it. It's a cyber attack of historical proportions. And I want to ask you now, if you took this into the Supreme Court with all of this, and you just with this sampling, and with these and brought it in there, could any cyber person that works in cyber what do you call it, cyber warfare or cyber forensics, they would be able to show these nine justices this evidence? And is there any way that it would not be a 9-0 vote saying this is 100% true?
No. And I think it would be great for, you know, some of my colleagues and you know, more people within that community to weigh in. Because they'll reach the same conclusion. And, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. We know what we're looking at. And I'm confident in, you know, them seeing the same exact thing. Because, you know, we have. So it's real. It's there. And you can't change it. So what do you do with that? You have to rule. And that ruling is, it has to be, you know, I mean, it's not just majority. It's not just majority. It's the whole thing. Like, it's that black and white, and you know, it doesn't come down to any politics. That's not what this is about. It's about, you know, our country, and you know, that falls on both sides of the aisle. So I think you know, at the end of the day, that's what needs to be done. And I think they'll choose the right, you know, decision.
Right. Well, it'll be 9-0, everybody. You've heard it here. These nine Supreme Court justices are going to be heroes as far as I'm concerned. They look at this and they don't even have to. I would like to be one of them. It'd be very easy to be one, knowing that you got brought evidence that is not subjective, is 100% non-negotiable. And so it's a very easy decision for all nine of them. I mean, everybody, you have to realize that these are nine justices. They are Americans. They grew up here. They have families. They have grandchildren. And they have neighbors. They have friends. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican or what you are. This was 100% attacked by China, the CCP coming into our country. And they just happened to use the Democratic Party. That's who they picked to do it with. Well, you know what? The Democrats warned us about this, everybody. They warned us about this for a long time, that these machines could get hacked.
We recently also, I actually held a demonstration for my colleagues here at the Capitol, where we brought in folks who, before our eyes, hacked election machines. Those that are being used in many states, but are not state-of-the-art from our perspective.
We're very concerned because there's only three companies. You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, three companies are controlling them.
43% of American voters use voting machines that researchers have found have serious security flaws, including back doors. These companies are accountable to no one. They won't answer basic questions about their cybersecurity practices, and the biggest companies won't answer any questions at all. Five states have no paper trail, and that means there is no way to prove the numbers the voting machines put out are legitimate. So much for Cybersecurity 101.
I know America's voting machines are vulnerable because my colleagues and I have hacked them repeatedly. We've created attacks that can spread from machine to machine like a computer virus and silently change election outcomes. And in every single case, we've found ways for attackers to sabotage machines and to steal votes.
Early voters in Georgia in 2018 saw machines deleting votes and switching them to other candidates.
When you say hacked, what were they able to do once they gained access to the machines?
Oh, all sorts of things. They could manipulate the outcome of the vote. They could manipulate the tally. They could delete the tally. And they could compromise the vote in any number of ways.
I'm pretty sure my undergrad computer security class at Michigan could have changed the outcome of the 2016 Michigan election if we wanted to. It is that bad. And we have a combination of very powerful adversaries and unfortunately quite vulnerable and obsolete systems. That's why I say it's only a matter of time.
This is why I have been so confident. And everybody that's watching this now, you need to share this video with everyone you know in the world. Every day, get up, text it to people, share it, call people, talk about it. Because you know what? This is our country.
Okay, I think we lost some of the audio there at the end. But what he's saying is get this, record this video. You have a button on his website where you can record, you can download, share it with people. Let the public know about this stuff so there's a real demand brewing here and we can get the Supreme Court to listen to this. Among the people you were hearing there were then Senator Kamala Harris and Senator Ron Wyden at a congressional hearing prior to the 2020 election, J. Alex Halderman, University of Michigan computer science and engineering professor, Representative Zoe Lofgren of California, Douglas Lute, former U.S. ambassador to NATO, I believe, under the Obama administration, and others. So it's a pretty impressive crowd saying the same things that about these machines and things that have been that Mr. Lindell has been bringing up and others as well. Now let's hear audio from an interview June 4 that journalist L. Todd Wood did with Patrick Byrne, founder of Overstock.com, and another patriot who's been involved in the fight to expose 2020 election fraud. Byrne discusses the significance of what Mike Lindell and his team have uncovered, what it could mean for the possibility of overturning the election, and Communist China's plans for destroying the USA and dominating the world. Play soundbite two, please.
We travel in the same circles. We know the same people. We're digging up the same truth. There's just one truth, and we're both digging at it. If you've read my book, which I know you've talked about and had me on to talk about, Todd, there are people in here I refer to sort of a very loose-knit group of people called the Bad News Bears. Hmm. Some of them are the people that Mike Lindell is talking about when he says he showed up January 9th and got it and started getting involved with these white hat hackers.
Yeah.
There's no names used, but some of the people are the same. So we all know each other. We know what's going on. And what's going on is we did know. He has come out publicly and said, I knew on January 9th that there had been hacking from China. He's referring to information that's actually had been developed by the Bad News Bears, people who were described in here, although maybe not all the information by any means was in here, but we had quite a bit. We needed a Lindell. We needed Lindell, and we needed someone that the president would listen to, frankly.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike and I are friends, but we're more fellow travelers than anything. And if this were a murder, we now have a videotape of the murderer putting a gun to the victim's head, and we have the blood spatter on his shirt, and we have everything you need. We have what is called packet capture data. And, you know, as packets, as you speak, or as data moves through the internet, whether it be television, whether it be video or our voices or, you know, just whatever.
Right.
Broken up into packets. That packets, as they go through the internet, can be captured at different places. The relevant data was in fact captured. I'm not ready to go yet beyond what Lindell has put in a lawsuit as to how.
Right.
The relevant packets were in fact captured. There's been an immense multi-month de-encryption process, a bank of computers running 24 hours a day, decrypting. What we know is for certain, there were votes flipped out of China. There were 80 successful cyber attacks against the precincts in five states. Those states being, it's the big six minus Nevada. The ones I'm always talking about six, well, it's all of those minus Nevada. And just for reason of time, this analysis has been done about those five swing states, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Those five swing states had 80 successful attacks. Looks like about half came from China. Of those, just 20 attacks flipped in those five states, 555,864 votes. And we have the actual packets. I mean, this is, if this, like I say, if this were a crime scene, we got the DNA of the victim in blood on the killer's shirt. We got the video of him doing it. We got everything. We have the packets. These were flipped. Those 555,000 votes alone account for the flips of those five swing states.
Wow.
So this was a Chinese attack, and it's we may as well have the hard drive of the guy who did it. We have the entire packet traffic record, and so that's been filed. It's no longer, you know, it's no longer in my mind an open question. It is now scientifically proven to my satisfaction. I've looked at the data and dealt with the people who have intercepted it and understand how they acquired it, had other people talk to them, other super sophisticated hackers and cyber white hat hackers and people with like NSA backgrounds, these kind of people. This data, it's all been vouched for me, and this is the real data. Too massive to be fake. And it shows conclusively that this election was ruined. The truth is, the way to think of this election at this point is not who won. It's an egg that cannot be unscrambled. It's
right,
been scrambled And that can be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt.
When you combine that with the, the obvious actions by China regarding COVID, which you could say is biological warfare, and you could say this is cyber warfare. I mean, those are acts of war, right?
Well, let me put it this way. Yeah. And, you know, I love China. I love the Chinese. I speak Chinese. Mm-hmm. It was the first time they allowed foreign students. I was over there as a foreign student, 83, 84. So this is hard for me to say. But, yeah, this was – well, China's not the only miscreant involved in this. It's China in boots with some people. And what's going on is in 1998, there was a book by two Chinese lieutenant colonels, PLA, that called Unrestricted Warfare.
Right.
And it described Thucydides' trap, which is 19 times in world history, one empire has declined as another arose, that they were contiguous. And in 17 out of 19 cases, there was war. Mm-hmm. And Chinese said, how do we manage this without war? And that's, in their view, that's their great strategic dilemma. And this book envisioned sort of, I think it was six levels to war where they take down the United States. And only the sixth and final was anything kinetic, where actually missiles fly and bullets. All the other things were cultural, political, economic, trade, technological, things like that. That's how they subvert us. And ideally they win without firing a shot. And that itself, I think I described this on your show, this would be called, and this came out in national security literature in China in the years later, their reference to an assassin's mace, a shashokin, that was coming around 2020, 2030 for the United States. It's been very clear that they had something brewing in the works. So, you know, I'm not an old China hand, but I was once a young China hand, and I have a deep love. It's kind of hard. I'm schizophrenic on this because I love the Chinese so deeply. But this, I think this was an act of, this data is all for real. Yeah. And it's out of China. So it is an act of war out of China, I'm afraid to say.
How do you, this is a little off topic, but how do you think they infiltrated and turned so many within our own national security apparatus?
Corruption. Washington, D.C. is completely corrupt. Everybody... Yeah. You know, you learn that if you're a good boy and you say certain things, then when you're out of office, there's nice jobs for you at the Brookings Institute. And if you don't say, if you don't say those things, there aren't those jobs. And there's whole sections of the State Department run by people where they filter out, and they have for two decades. And for two decades, they've been filtering out people who don't join part of you. China's rise has been on. Listen, I've been, I was part of the generation of young students who went over. We embraced China's rise. We kind of, there's kind of a historical link between America and China that we, I suppose, were foolish enough to think would make a difference in the long run. And also corruption. You know, there was a wonderful, back in December or January, there was a Chinese professor who gave a lecture on the internet that got translated and made some waves over here, where he described it perfectly, Todd, and it came down to money. They're very strategic. They mapped this out. They did the human terrain mapping. They understand our society. Mm-hmm. They understand the Achilles heel. The Achilles heel of a society like ours is corruption.
Yeah.
Because if you have a government of institutions and not of men, then you're only as good as those institutions. And they mapped it out scientifically. They corrupted them. They corrupted the think tanks. Even in the military. There's two groups in Washington. Somebody said to me not long ago, those who think that in 10 years, if we don't do something, the U.S. will be a vassal state to China. Mm-hmm. And the other group thinks it's already too late.
Yeah.
The only thing I would change about that now is 10 years is way, way too optimistic. Yeah. We're done if we don't get this straightened out now. I know right what for us. I lived there. I know. Yeah, their greatest national security concern is food, and their ambition will be to turn this country into a farm.
June's been a big month for Mike Lindell. Not only has he released Absolutely 9-0, but he's also just filed a huge defamation and racketeering lawsuit against Dominion Voting Systems and Smartmatic, whose, as we've said, election voting machine hardware and software are used in many U.S. states and, as Lindell, Byrne, and others contend, were used to hack and flip millions of votes from Trump to Biden in the November 2020 presidential election. As you may know, Dominion and Smartmatic have filed billion-dollar defamation lawsuits against various people who have made these allegations and sent letters threatening legal action against some 150 others who provided affidavits or statements that they saw or suspected fraud during the 2020 elections. Lindell, pro-Trump lawyers Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani, Fox News, and several of its program hosts have each been sued for more than $1 billion. In his lawsuit complaint, Lindell has alleged that Dominion and Smartmatic have engaged in a legal campaign, what Lindell calls lawfare or law warfare, to silence and intimidate by threatening their opponents with financial ruin. That is, those who dare to allege that Dominion and Smartmatic equipment could be or was used to facilitate election fraud. Filed June 3 in United States District Court, District of Minnesota, plaintiff Lindell states in his complaint that he, quote, brings this lawsuit to stop electronic voting machine companies from weaponizing the litigation process to silence political dissent and suppress evidence showing voting machines were manipulated to affect outcomes in the November 2020 general election. Fact. Electronic voting machines and software can be hacked through a cyber attack, thereby allowing data flowing through these devices, those devices, to be manipulated, stolen, or altered. End quote. Further, the complaint states, quote, it is indisputable that the electronic voting machines and software manufactured and sold by Dominion and Smartmatic are vulnerable to cyber attacks before, during, and after an election, and in a manner that could easily alter election outcomes. Election security expert and University of Michigan Science and Engineering Professor J. Alex Halderman and others have given sworn testimony of this fact. Now Vice President Kamala Harris, along with other Democratic senators, said the same thing during a Senate hearing prior to the November 20 general election. The complaint continues. And again, quote, fact. Direct and circumstantial evidence demonstrates that during the 2020 general election, electronic voting machines like those manufactured and sold by Dominion were manipulated and hacked in a manner that caused votes from one candidate to be tallied for the opposing candidate. In response to Mike Lindell's public statements about the evidence he had gathered, the complaint continues, Dominion Voting Systems and its lawyers at Clare Locke LLP, that's their lawyers, hereafter referred to as Clare Locke, threatened Mike Lindell with financial ruin if he did not cease his public expression of his political speech regarding the debacle that was the use of electronic voting machines in the 2020 general election, end quote. The complaint also states, quote, Dominion has weaponized the legal process and intimidated witnesses to election fraud by suing or threatening to sue over 150 private individuals, including dozens of citizens, volunteer poll watchers, with baseless defamation lawsuits or cease and desist letters from Dominion lawyers at Clare Locke. Dominion further publicly boasts of doing so merely because those citizens signed affidavits regarding fraudulent or illegal activities they personally observed during the November 2020 election. Dozens of those citizens never mentioned Dominion or issues with any electronic voting machines. Yet Dominion and Clare Locke still threaten these witnesses, citizen volunteers performing a public service, with ruinous litigation and onerous demands that they preserve even private communications. Smartmatic has engaged in similar weaponization of the court system to attack other individuals and news outlets, merely for publicly sharing information they have gathered regarding vulnerabilities in and attacks on electronic voting machines in the 2020 general election, close quote. And as you may know, on a previous program, we quoted pro-Trump attorney Lynn Wood, who says he knows the principals at Clare Locke, and that he believes they're being financed by none other than Bill Gates, former Microsoft chairman and founder of that company. If this is true, I'd say Bill Gates owes the American public an explanation as to why he's doing this. Hopefully we will find out in the progress of this litigation. Anyway, getting back to the complaint of Mike Lindell, beginning on page 22 of the 82-page complaint is some, in my opinion, very significant information linking Dominion and Smartmatic with communist China. The complaint states, quote, "In 2018, Dominion was acquired by a private equity firm, Staple Street Capital, whose largest shareholder, David Mark Rubenstein, is a co-founder of the Carlyle Group. The Carlyle Group is a global investment firm with long-standing and enormous investments in China. In 2020, mere months before the election, Staple Street Capital, owner of Dominion, received a $400 million investment from UBS Securities LLC. UBS Securities LLC owns 24.99% of UBS Securities Company Limited, a Chinese investment bank. The remaining 75% of UBS Securities Company Limited is owned by the Chinese government or various arms of it. At the time of the November 20 election, the two UBS Securities affiliates shared three common directors. One, Yi Zhang, board chairman of UBS Beijing until his resignation in December 2020, also secretary of People's Bank of China, and ex-director of Bank of China International. Two, Mu Lina, director of fund management and head of fund operations for UBS Beijing. And three, Luo Kang, I believe. Nor do the connection between Dominion, Smartmatic, and China end with the $400 million investment in Dominion's parent. 5 years earlier, beginning in 2015, Smartmatic began using the Chinese company Shenzhen Zhongjian Nanfang Testing Company Limited to conduct in-depth testing studies and certification of its voting machine hardware and software. The relationship continued until at least 2020, just prior to the election. In that role, the Chinese company had complete access to all facets of Smartmatic's devices and software, which shared the same, quote, DNA, unquote, as the Dominion systems, going back to the Diebold Premier Sequoia acquisitions. They're referring here to prior acquisitions of different companies and so forth. They'd explained this earlier in the complaint. Anyway, back to the complaint. Worse still, in or around September 2019, Dominion pledged as many as 18 of its patents as collateral with Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation, HSBC, a large Chinese bank. In other words, by the time of the 2020 election, Chinese government-related entities, Chinese technology companies, and powerful Chinese financial interests had direct or indirect ownership of and near total access to Dominion's and Smartmatic's voting machine technology. Small wonder that by then, congressional leaders had serious concerns regarding the spread, quote, the spread and effect of private equity investment in many sectors of the economy, including the election technology industry, close quote. There's a lot more fascinating information in Lindell's complaint, along with the many exhibits filed with it. I'm just beginning to look at it. I've recently finished reading the complaint. I'm not sure if Lindell is making all this available on the websites he operates, but you can find it all elsewhere on the internet by doing a search for it on the U.S. District Court's website for the District of Minnesota, at least. We'll be following this case closely, and we'll have much more to say about it as it progresses through the legal system. Well, that's a wrap for another show. As always, we hope you found the content informative and of value. Look for us again in this same time slot 2 weeks from now, and have a great rest of your day.